We want to look at one more archaeological site. This one is in Stockholm. The trip will be interesting since two heroic bridges were recently built, and they'll let us stay in the car all the way. First, we drive 140 miles east. We pass through Odense, cross the Nyborg Bridge, and continue to Copenhagen. We'll spend the night there. The next day, we'll cross the new Øresund Bridge from Copenhagen to Malmö, Sweden. Then it's another 400 miles to Stockholm. Once in Sweden, distances become positively Texan. Just as the bogs of Denmark held history, so too does the harbor of Stockholm. We've come here to see a grand ship, badly built, which, like the Toland Man, now serves as a remarkable time capsule. King Gustavus Adolphus of Sweden ruled the Baltic Sea in 1628, the year he launched the warship Vasa. Vasa looked very much like its contemporary, the Mayflower, only it was twice as big. Vasa was a 200-foot gun platform. She had two rows of brass cannon, 64 in all. She was wildly ornate. Her stern was a glory of brightly painted carved figures of knights and mythical beasts. She could have sailed right out of a child's storybook. Crowds cheered as Vasa crossed the harbor on her maiden voyage. Then wind filled her sails, and she began to heel. She leaned and leaned until her lower gun ports were under water. Water rushed in. She foundered and sank. She carried 50 people to their deaths 100 feet below. The king, it seems, had meddled in the design. Vasa was designed for only one row of guns. He'd ordered a second row of 2,500-pound brass cannon to be added. There was room in the hull for only 121 tons of stone ballast. That was far too little. Vasa would be top-heavy, and the shipbuilders all knew it. 35 years later, in 1663, a Swedish inventor named Albrecht von Trileben came on the scene with a new diving bell. He managed to go down and get most of the expensive cannons. The rest of Vasa sat in the mud in the cold, low-salt Baltic Sea, largely forgotten, in a remarkable state of preservation. In 1956, the great wreck hunter Anders Fransen found Vasa on the bottom of Stockholm Harbor. He realized he could actually bring it up whole, though it would be a Herculean job. Divers went down and tunneled through the muck under the hull, dragging cables after them, fearing a cave-in every moment. They attached the cables to a system of floats above. By blowing water out of the floats, they managed to lift Vasa a few feet at a time. They stair-stepped her up to slightly shallower seabeds over and over 18 times. By 1959, Vasa finally surfaced, and years of careful reclamation work began. Skeletons of the old crew lie where they died. One was crushed under a gun carriage. The mouth of another opens in a terrible screaming rictus. Three cannons had lain beyond the reach of 17th-century divers. Now they rise from the mud along with treasure, art, and a microcosm of 17th-century daily life. Just as in the Toland marshes, life and death rise out of the mud together. And we sort the many ironies of Vasa. She was glorious in her finery, yet her crew lived in near cesspool conditions. It cost more to reclaim her than to build her in the first place. But the greatest irony of all is that Gustavus Adolphus's technological blunder created a time capsule to serve history long after old naval wars had been forgotten.